Good morning, Symphony Church. Today's devotional is on Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Let me read that for us. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal must I now restore. O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me, O Lord God of hosts. Let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul, redeem me, ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart, so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. Let their own table before them become a snare, and when they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation, let no one dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Amen. This was a bit of a longer passage, so I do encourage you to go back over it again on your own and meditate on the verses that may have stuck out to you. But upon first read, it's pretty easy to notice the structure of David's outcry in the midst of his suffering. It moves from the witness of his suffering and the mockery he endured to the proclamation of God's faithfulness, to thoughts of retribution and outright complaining against his enemies. And then finally, praise for the Lord. As I read this, I thought about just how horrible it must have been to endure. All this hatred and intentional hurt that was done to him. The intensity of David's love for his God, which resulted in shame and public scorn. And if this sounds familiar, it's because you might recognize someone else in the Bible who similarly endured much persecution in the name of the Father. Psalm 69 is what is known as a messianic psalm, one that alludes to Jesus as the Messiah. Throughout the New Testament, and particularly the Gospels, are instances where we see Jesus' disciples recalling the things prophesied in this psalm. In verse 4 here, it says, "Those who hate me without cause, what I did not steal must I now restore." Jesus, perfect and sinless, was crucified and took upon himself the sins of the world to bring us reconciliation with God. In verse 9, it says, "Zeal for your house has consumed me," alluding to the clearing of the temple courts in John chapter 2, when, right before the Passover, Jesus had driven all the money changers and vendors out from the temple. And in verse 21, David speaks of the sour wine he was given to drink. John chapter 19, verses 28 to 29 tell us that as Jesus was on the cross, a sponge soaked in sour wine was placed on a hyssop branch and held to his lips. Now, these are only a few of the parallels we see, and I'm sure if you go back, you'll find a couple more. What we see here is that this preview, as one might say, of the Messiah is a reminder that God fulfills his promises. Now, going back to what I said in the beginning, recalling how awful David's afflictions must have been, I was reminded that while Jesus was sent to fulfill the law, he was also fully man while on this earth. And so, since he was fully human, I imagine that the same pains and lamentations that David felt in this psalm, Jesus must have also felt as he traveled from town to town, preaching and performing miracles, only to be met with scorn and condemnation. It's a reminder that in this life, as we pray and seek God's peace and clarity in the midst of our troubles and sufferings, our prayers are not just being shouted into a void. Jesus, in his perfection, also understands and empathizes with our pain. Verse 33 says, "For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners." It's in this acknowledgement of who God is and his character that David is able to magnify the Lord. In verse 30, he says, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving." He then goes on to proclaim that all the heavens and the earth will praise God's name, knowing that God is the one who saves. And not only do we see God save David, we see God save Zion in the promise of salvation that ends up coming through Christ. And the new city referred to in verse 36, that his people will inherit and dwell in, is the one that we are also called to inherit and invited to dwell in. This psalm is a reminder that there is a hope greater than anything we can imagine amidst our present afflictions. And that hope is something we can hold on to as truth because God fulfills his promises. And as we wait upon him, we can also confidently and wholeheartedly lift up praise and thanksgiving to our God. So let's take some time to reflect and consider now how we can continue to praise God amid suffering and perhaps even consider our salvation and the hope that is brought to us in light of Jesus' sacrifice. Let me pray for us. God, what a privilege it is to be able to lift up our voices in praise to you. Just as we see in our psalm today, Lord, you are worthy to be praised, even when it feels as though by the world's standards, there is nothing to be thankful for. But as you've demonstrated to David and to your people time and time again in the Bible, what you promise, you fulfill and you honor. Lord, may we continue to come to you in prayer and petition, knowing that you hear the cries of our hearts and you care deeply for our souls. Lord, help us recognize and the grace that you extend to us and the new mercies that you have for us every morning. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.